Are we spending more at stores because we feel richer or because prices are going up?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll find out what's behind the positive news on retail sales that came out this morning. But first, where's Wall Street? Markets are up right now. The Dow is up 20 points at 11,449. The NASDAQ up just about 0.1%. And the S&P 500 also up about 0.1%. Gold is trading at more than $1,400 an ounce. A meeting starts today at the Federal Reserve. Don't expect a change in interest rates, but do expect a lot of attention to be paid to how the central bank phrases its latest forecast for the economy. Now to retail sales. The Commerce Department said today sales jumped almost 1% last month. That marks the fifth straight month of better sales at retailers. Let's turn to Julie Neiman, analyst with Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Jeremy.
So break down the numbers for us. Is this good news on the retail side?
Well, it is from the standpoint that this is the fifth month of rising retail sales. It says we're not headed back into recession, and 70% of our economy is really based on consumption. The negative side, though, consumers are very cautious. We've had a 25% decline in credit card accounts. Everybody's using cash and debit cards. Consumers are still reducing debt, increasing savings. They're not looking for any gain in household income, so they want deals on everything or they won't buy. Now, for retailers, this means more traffic volume, but the focus is on bargains, which means lower profit margins.
All right. Now, Julie, we also got earnings this morning from Best Buy, a big, well-known retailer. They were disappointing. The company says demand is dropping. How come Best Buy can't get a piece of this good news in the retail sector?
Well, I think it's really specific to the company because their big focus is on video gaming, TVs, laptops. The problem here is that the prices are falling in TVs because of the recession. There's a huge glut. Nobody repairs anymore. They replace it. And everybody is selling this kind of stuff, even 7-Eleven. So there's huge competition out there. What is selling are the iPods, iPads, i-whatevers, and that's not a big part of Best Buy.
And how many of those do you have right now, Julie? You got all the iPods and iPads?
I've got a Cricket that works really well.
Okay. Julie Neiman, analyst at Smith Moore & Company, thanks so much for your time.
You bet.
Well, more criticism this morning for a federal mortgage modification program included in the TARP bailout. TARP's congressional watchdog says the program, called HAMP, has left billions of federal dollars unspent and millions of homeowners dissatisfied. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports.
The Treasury Department bailout set aside about $50 billion to help distressed homeowners reduce their mortgage payments and stay in their homes. But so far, the program's only spent about $4 billion, helping far fewer than hoped. Former Democratic Senator Ted Kaufman chaired the panel. He explains one reason why the program's come up short.
The people who actually handle the loans between the borrower and the lender, these folks did not, they got more money, frankly, for closing than they did modifying. So it was to their advantage to foreclose and not to modify.
Kaufman didn't call the mortgage modification program a failure, but says it needs to regroup. Between 8 and 13 million home foreclosures are projected by 2012. In New York, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. By the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt, it's more car than electric. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at NovoNordisk-US.com.
You know those guys on the airport tarmac who direct planes with those bright orange wands? Well, now American Airlines may not need them. The company is using sensors on the terminal wall to guide the planes into place. Chicago Public Radio's Tony Arnold hit the runway for us.
American Airlines is the only major airline to use the devices extensively so far. It's rolling them out at some of the biggest airports across the country, Miami, Dallas, New York, and as recently as this summer, the device went live at Chicago's O'Hare International Airport.
It'll identify the aircraft type, and it will wait until that aircraft type presents itself to this gate.
Pilot John Burton has been with American for 25 years.
When it does, it'll give it guidance for centerline, and then it will allow it to come in to a stop point. And you can see the stop point right there is that yellow T right on the ground.
We're standing on the ramp watching the plane nose in. Burton points out the black box hanging in front of us that looks pretty much like a digital clock. As we walk down the terminal, he brags about how the sensors inside help pilots see exactly where to line up their planes and how they shave 2 minutes off each flight's time on the runway, critical for an airport like O'Hare, notorious for delays.
That's the leading edge. It doesn't get any more up to date than this.
I know that with technology, there's always the chance of failure.
Sean Doyle heads the union in charge of American Airline Marshallers at O'Hare. These workers are responsible for more than just helping to park planes. They also unload luggage and de-ice aircraft. Doyle says under the old system, three people guided one plane to the gate.
With six set of hands on that and all the eyeballs on it, I think it's safer than when we do it with us doing the work personally.
American has not cut any jobs since installing the devices, and Burton, the pilot, says the airline won't. But Doyle isn't so sure. He says he doesn't think his job's in danger until airlines come up with a device that physically unloads bags from the plane. In Chicago, I'm Tony Arnold for Marketplace.
And finally, while we're talking airlines, the latest numbers are in on how much the airlines made on all those annoying fees you have to pay to change your ticket or to check bags. The total amount so far for the year, almost $4.5 billion. Delta alone collected more than $1 billion. There is one carrier that only made $22 million on fees. That's because it doesn't charge a fee to change tickets and only charges passengers if they check more than two bags. That would be Southwest Airlines, which, strangely, was still able to post a $200 million profit last quarter. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson on Twitter, at Jeremy Hobson, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
We've all gotten a bad gift or two, but did you ever stop to think about what they might be costing you?
To calculate the total loss in value of this candle to me, I would say that it took up 0.01% of my floor space. And when you multiply that by my rent and by 12 months, it comes out to $1.50 per year.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Freakonomics of holiday gift giving, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.